Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is session number 7 in volume number 7. I have loved you. And this is really a continuation of the last teaching. This one is also in John 15, but verses 9 through 17. I'm reading from the NIV. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. God is love. We read that in 1 John 4:16. And God is love is a very familiar scripture to most believers in Jesus the Christ. Most believers, as a matter of fact, are quick to point to these very words to describe God. Their understanding may be flawed. This is unbelievers will do this. Now, their understanding may be flawed regarding the meaning of this scripture, but they nevertheless will also be often quick to say, God is love. Now, Jesus made a startling statement to his disciples in John 15:9. He said, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. He said he loved his disciples in the same way the Heavenly Father loved him. Think of that. Think what that means. As a believer, Jesus loves you in the same way, in the same intensity, in every respect, the same as God the Father loved Jesus. Now think of that. Think what that means. Oh, we're familiar with the scriptures from John chapter 3, that God so loved the world. But he loves the believer just as the Father loved him. That is such a complete love. You must remember that love was so strong that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and trust that he would be raised again from the dead. Because love involves trust. And for us to love God also means that we trust God. And we can do this if we are believers, then we know that he has loved us. Now, Jesus talked about if you obey. Now, Jesus said in John 15:10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. The word remain can actually be translated abide, to live there. So that is a place where we live. You know, some people might even say, well, that would be maybe like the secret place of the Most High. To really live in that place, in that relationship with God. My, if we remain in his love, we abide there. Now let me ask you, can you imagine a better place to live, to abide, to reside, to spend your time, than in that place with God Himself. Then also the word obey, it can also be rendered as follow the recipe. Obey there is interesting because one of the meanings of that word in the Greek is basically recipe. The key to abiding in Christ is to learn the recipe and follow it. Now, if you went somewhere and you went to work in some location, you would have to learn the recipe or the rules for what was expected of you in the job that you had and how people related to each other wherever you worked or whatever. When a couple gets married, they have to adjust their recipes a little bit so that they have a little give and take until they come up with a joint recipe, if you will, on how their household will function. And so it's important to remain in relationship, to follow a recipe, to obey what needs to be done in order to keep harmony and to keep relationship going. The key to abiding in Christ is to learn the recipe and follow it. You only get the correct baked goods if you stick to the recipe. And the example that I always like to use is the angel food cake. An angel food cake requires what? It requires 12 egg whites. Not 12 whole eggs, but 12 egg whites. And if you decide that you're going to do it your own way, and you put in less than 12 egg whites, or you put in the whole eggs, you're not going to get an angel food cake. Even though you follow all the other instructions, you bake it at the right temperature for the right amount of time, you're not going to have an angel food cake because you didn't abide with the recipe. You didn't stay in that recipe. Not staying in the recipe means the result will not be what you intended when you started. So in order to finish something that we start, we must abide in it, and we must obey how it works. Now, notice I'm not hitting you with a lot of law here, but I'm saying that there are just certain rules within things that have to be followed in order to get the result that we want. Then Jesus says an interesting thing to them because he talks about being full of joy. He says, the joy of the Lord, we know in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord, we're told, is our strength. I was talking to some people just recently who are really getting beat up spiritually. And I said, where's your joy? Do you have any joy? Well, they didn't have any joy. To them, life had become a drudgery. Every morning was like, oh, here's another day. Oh, I don't want to face it. I just like to pull the cover over my head and stay in bed. This is the way their life was. They had lost their joy. And if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then what do we know? If you have no joy, you have no strength. Certainly in the spiritual, but that also translates into the physical. These people didn't even care if they got out of bed or not. So, the joy of the Lord, however, gives us great strength. And this is mentioned throughout the Scriptures. Jesus wanted the disciples to be filled with joy. This is what he told them in 15:11, in John 15:11 there. He wanted them to be filled with joy. Jesus, in telling them that these things, you see, he wanted both they and their joy to be complete in him. Now, I will tell you very quickly, the only true joy that you will ever have in life is in Christ. You may have happiness and you may have sadness, but in happiness and sadness, you can still have the joy of the Lord in your heart. As a matter of fact, it's that joy that pulls us through the worst of circumstances. It's that joy when nothing seems to be changing, nothing seems to be working right, everything that seems to be going wrong, that gives us the strength to persevere, to stay in the recipe, to continue to cleave to Christ, trusting and knowing that that joy will give us the strength to pull through any situation. So this is what Jesus tells them. He wanted both they and their joy to be complete in Him. Thus, what was He doing? Preparing them to bring those who would be believers because of them to completeness. You know, in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, Paul talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers were to do what? For the perfecting or the completing of the saints. So he knew that it was going to require them, that they were going to have this joy in them in order that they could give it to others, that they would stick with it, they wouldn't faint. And, you know, we have a thing in English that we think faint means that you pass out. But the original meaning of the word faint means just to simply slow down, just to back off a little bit. That's what the word faint in Scripture means. It doesn't mean you're just completely passed out and you're not doing anything or you're out of touch. It just means you just backed off a little bit. It means you're not up to speed with what you would be. That's called fainting in the Scripture. So Jesus says He wants their joy to be complete. But then He's also talking to the very people who will bring completion to the saints. These are the people who will need to learn the things of the Lord. They'll need to learn the recipe, and these, the ones He's talking to, are the ones that are going to teach them the recipe so that they will be able to stick with it and not faint. And they will come to completeness in their calling and in what they are as a part of the body of Christ. Joy is such a very important thing. I cannot stress joy enough to you. Those times when I've caught myself losing my joy, letting go of the joy of the Lord, those times that I've looked at myself to be the solution rather than Christ to be the solution, I would begin to faint. I would begin to back off. I would begin to enter into weakness. But the Scripture is clear. It is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It is in abiding in Him and in His love that empowers us, enables us, that permits us to do the very things that we want to do. Why do we want to do them? We want to do them because we love the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We want to be in the Lord's will. So the recipe Jesus gave had a major component in that recipe, and that was love. If God is love, you can see why it would be so important for us to remain in love. Because not remaining in love, how would you be remaining in God? He told them to love each other as He had loved them. And He's just already told them that God the Father loved Him in a particular way, and that He loved them as God the Father did, and now He's saying, now you love each other the same way. Now, people who love one another, they don't gossip about each other. They don't talk about each other in negative fashions behind their back. Sometimes I'll grin and I'll say to somebody, you know, my wife and I have been talking about you behind your back. And usually when I'm saying that, of course, what's that mean? It means we've been saying good things about them. We've been telling people about them and how they've persevered and what's going on. Just recently, I was talking with somebody from our town who no longer lives here and has quite a ministry, and I was telling about somebody who lived here. And they were so excited to hear the good report. So I was talking about this person behind their back, saying what a great move God had made in their life. A move that they weren't even supposed to live through. But God entered into the situation, and they persevered, and God showed His glory. God does these things because He wants glory. Our whole purpose is to glorify God. That's why we were created. That's why Satan hates us so much. Because he got kicked out of heaven, and then we were created to praise God. Well, he had been in charge of praise and worship before he ever got kicked out of heaven. because of the sin of pride. Do you understand that anything that we do that is not of God is pride? Anything. Anytime we decide we're going to follow our own little path, we got our own little plan, we think we can do it better. You know, when you do that, you lose your joy fast. And you also find yourself not able to love people as you need to be loving them. He told them to love each other as he had loved them. Jesus set the example or the pattern they were to follow. Now let me talk about example and pattern just a minute. You know, many people who claim to be Christians are really philosophical Christians. They will tell you that God is love, and they will tell you all these nice things, and they're true. But they see Jesus as a philosophy rather than a relationship. They see Jesus as a religion rather than a relationship. You don't ever want to fall into that trap. Your attachment to Jesus Christ is a relationship, because Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and he is alive today. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be in us, to enable us, to work through us, to do his will. Yes, Jesus set the example and the pattern, and we can see a philosophy there, but oh, my friends, we cannot stop with philosophy. Anybody can have a philosophy. And there are many good philosophies around the world. But those philosophies do not have Jesus. Oh, they may say a lot of the same good things, but you see, they have a form, but they have no power. With Christ comes the power of God, the power to do and to change and to make things happen. Now, Jesus tells them there is no greater love than to give up one's life for another. And the word there can be friend or even neighbor in John 15:13. But let me tell you, many people are willing to die for Christ, they say. But few of us are called to die for Christ. How many will lay down their life to live for Christ? How many will die daily to themselves, as the Apostle Paul said, and live daily for Christ? How many will have the confidence to understand that much of what they earn in their jobs is really seeds that God's giving them to plant so that he can show them that he will meet their needs? It's such a trap to fall into even that your employer is meeting your needs. Your employer is not meeting your needs. God meets your needs. God can change anyone's life in a heartbeat, in a day. You can go from nothing to something in a day, and you can go from something to nothing in a day. But look at the people who followed God. Look at Joseph, in prison one day, prime minister the next. Just think of that. Look at Moses on the backside of the desert watching a bunch of sheep one day, and then in no time, he's now the leader of over 2 million people, taking them out of bondage, all healed, all in good health, and with the wealth of their captors. For 400 years, they had been slaves nearly. And now, they were out of slavery, out of bondage, and blessed by God. Why? Because God loves his people. I cannot stress to you enough, God loves everybody, but God empowers and loves his people because we, even though we were perhaps not born into Israel, we were grafted into Abraham by the blood of Christ. And all the blessings on Abraham fall on us as well. But if we don't know that, if we don't receive that, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, if we don't walk in love, we will not see those blessings. If you're not seeing all the blessings of God in your life, don't blame God. Look at yourself. Ask God to reveal you what needs to change about you. Believe me, we do not need to change God. What needs to change is always us. God's all right. We're the ones who need Him. We need Him to help us live our life. Now, being a friend of Jesus, listen to what Jesus says to them. Jesus makes it very clear believers are recognized as friends. As friends. Believers are recognized as friends if they follow His recipe, His plan, His command. How could anyone have a better friend than God? I ask you, can you think of having a better friend than God? God Himself calls you friend. If you're a believer following the recipe, walking in love, trusting in Him, you're a friend. You see, one of the things that we have to know is what God does. And this was the thing that must have startled the disciples. Jesus, after saying these wonderful things, makes an even more startling statement. He says, the believer is not a servant, but a friend. He actually says believers will be allowed to know what God will do, is doing, and has done. Right there in John 15:15, that's what he says. Now let me ask you a question. What is the general thing that's thought about today when people think about knowing things about God? The general conversation you would hear was, how could you ever know the thoughts of God? How could you ever know what God was going to do? Can we really... Now, I'm not saying that we can understand all the concept of God, all there is about God, but I will tell you this, Jesus made it clear. He will tell His friends what He's doing, what He's done, what He's doing right now, and what He is about to do. We are told that we will know. The Scriptures even say that God doesn't do anything unless He first reveals what He's going to do through His prophets. So the idea, you see, if you're in religion, you find this hard to believe. You find this hard to grasp. But if you're in relationship, then you know. God's given you the straight scoop here that this is the case. You see? Because Jesus said, because you're my friends, I will tell you. Don't you tell your friends things? If you have a close friend, don't you tell a close friend a lot of things that you wouldn't maybe tell other people? Jesus said that He loved the believer as God the Father loved him. Do you think Jesus had a close relationship with God the Father? Do you think He spent hours talking to God the Father and God the Father hours talking to Him? Certainly. Jesus said you can have that same relationship. The very same relationship. Oh, and I love this. Coming down through here, we'll be winding up here in a minute, but this, you've got to grasp this. Please, please hear me carefully what I'm saying. Jesus said in John 15:16, the very next verse, He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Jesus said that. You were chosen. We were chosen by Him to bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, but fruit that will last. That means He's guarding the fruit. He's guarding us. He's caring for us. We're not victims anymore. We're not out there to be just knocked around by every wind of doctrine and everything that the adversary, Satan, would do to us. The power of God, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, the Scripture says, dwells in the believer. If you're a believer, that very power, that resurrection power, believe me, if resurrection power lives in you, that's a lot. That's it. Then certainly everything else would dwell in you as well. So He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Now I'm going to tell you some exciting things here. These are exciting things. As I was going through this, I said, "Lord, I can't do this message justice without Your help. You've got to help me with this." And He said, "Okay." The word choose there means to select. You were selected. Now, is there a lady in this world that would not like to think that her husband, who loves her dearly, selected her because she was just the best he thought there was anywhere? Selected her. Believers are selected and then what? And then placed, appointed, or ordained. All means the same thing in the original Greek word. Placed, appointed, ordained. To bear fruit. That's what we've been selected to do. To bear fruit. Now what that also means in the bear fruit and selected means that is to pluck fruit. If you see a ripe piece of fruit on a tree or a vine, you pluck it. My. We are not to wait for the fruit to fall for the harvest. We are to pluck it. When a fruit is pulled, plucked from the tree or the vine, it is plucked because it is ready for harvest. Listen to me now. It's ready for harvest. How many times have you tried to talk to somebody about Christ and it's like water off a duck's back? They didn't listen. They weren't willing to listen. They paid no attention to you. They thought it was foolishness. But does not the scripture say that one plants, another waters, and another harvests? When that fruit is ready and you're there, you can pluck that fruit because it's ripe. And that fruit, Jesus has said, will last. You've been chosen, ordained, appointed to bear fruit, to pluck it when it is ready for harvest, and that fruit that you have been chosen, appointed, ordained to pluck will be fruit that will last. Now, if you pick a fruit before it's ready and it looks good, it may not last. It may rot. It may fall by the wayside. But if you pluck that fruit when it's ready, you say, well, how do I know when it's ready? Ah, that's why you stay in relationship with Christ and you pray, Lord, you show me the fruit that's ready. I'm ready to harvest. You show me the ready fruit. That's the fruit that will remain. When a fruit is plucked from the tree or the vine, it is plucked because it is ready for harvest. The fruit which falls on its own is in danger of being bruised, trampled, or rotting. A plucked fruit is cared for fruit. Isn't that right? If you plucked a piece of fruit, you saw this beautiful grape or plum or apple or whatever it was, you wouldn't then just beat it and bruise it, you would care for it, wouldn't you? You would want the best fruit that you could see because you would want that fruit, the fruit that you had chosen. Have you ever gone to the grocery store to pick a fruit? Have you ever just grabbed, well, I'm going to get oranges, so you just pick up the first orange? Or do you find yourself sorting through to get the best one? You're going to pluck out the one that you know is the one for you. Same thing here. A plucked fruit is cared for fruit, protected fruit. It is loved fruit. Brought into a community of love, brought into a relationship of love with love itself, God. Jesus told the disciples, "This is my command, love each other." John 15:17. This is my command. Love each other. Believers are all fruit loved by Jesus. Do you realize as a believer you are fruit loved by Jesus? Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, and the fruit must love each other. We as believers must love each other. He said, this is my command. Love each other. That's my message. That's the message the Lord gave me for this session. I hope that this has spoken to your heart. I hope that you see in this the joy of the Lord, the confidence that you are being held in His hand, the confidence that you are not a servant ignorant of what the Master does, but that you are a friend in the inner circle of what's being done. This is the love of God that spread abroad in our hearts, as the Scripture says. Now I pray that you will, in these next few days, think on this very thing. Think on it. Meditate on it. And ask God to well up that joy, that well of joy in you, and to show you the fruit that you've been chosen to pluck, fruit that will last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you so thankful that we have your word, so thankful that we are friends, and that we can know your will, your way, and your purpose. We praise you and thank you for it. And we ask you now to open our eyes, open our hearts, and show us the fruit that you have for us to pluck. The fruit that will remain. And then you give us all the right words, everything it takes for us to do your will, to follow your recipe, and to spread the love of God everywhere we go, so that no one should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.